The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we'll have Steve Kerr along here shortly. I know we're trying to connect with him right now as we speak, and what a great day to do it. I can't wait to see what Steve has to say about this. I'll just be straight honest. Right now, so far, the sound, and maybe it's just the sound, I'm aware, having worked in media for as long as we have, like what you get at a microphone is not always all the real, all the uncut emotions and everything, but the Warrior organization has a certain sound to it about this event, and then Klay Thompson has a very different sound to him about this event. He has I don't want to say he's like dismissive. He's just trying to shift the focus to the game and the NBA Cup. By the way, did you see the floor?
I haven't yet. No,
they put the floor.
I'll look it up.
They've got
I'm
the
sure
video.
It's beautiful.
Oh my gosh!
I love these floors
so,
that they're putting.
It's
pretty cool.
It's going to be a vibe now inside there
for
tomorrow
sure.
night.
For sure. And yep. I could understand he has mixed emotions because the homecoming is happening maybe too soon in his season. He's still trying to get acclimated
true.
With being a Dallas Maverick, and so now he's being asked to come back to where he was for 13 years, and he won 4 titles, and he's still trying to get comfortable with his new team, his new number, his new uniform, his new coach, his new everything. So I would forgive him for being a little bit, not necessarily hesitant, but not totally embracing it because it's happening so soon.
Yeah, it's for me not even a matter of forgiveness. He can feel however he wants. He can say whatever he wants. I know as fans what you want to emotionally connect with Klay. I don't know if that's where he's at yet. You know what I mean? Like, take a quick listen to this, and then we're going to welcome Steve Kerr in. But this is part of what Klay said about the game tomorrow night.
Be good to see people that you grinded with, obviously. But to me, it's just another regular season game in November. Obviously, there's bigger implications with the NBA Cup. So that's what's on our mind, is just to win that, because I haven't been a part of it yet. I know it's young, but it'd be fun to play for that title.
Okay, let's go out to the River Islands guest line. It's time for Coach Steve Kerr here on Willard and Dibbs, as is the case every single week, presented by Great Clips in Sports. Success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips. It's going to be great. Hey, Coach, how you doing? So just another garden variety game tomorrow night, I guess, huh?
Just another game in November.
I mean, how would you put into words your emotions?
I don't think I'll know until I get to the arena tomorrow and I see Klay in a different jersey and, you know, hear the crowd react to him. It's hard to predict until then. So we'll wait and see how it goes tomorrow. But I know we're all looking forward to seeing him.
It's going to be fun, and you'll have 18,000 or so fans with captain's hats on in honor of Klay Thompson. Have you thought about donning one yourself for just maybe the start of the game, Steve?
I'm gonna go full Love Boat, like Captain Stubing.
That's so good.
Yeah,
I love it.
The white. Yeah, the white shorts, the long socks. Yeah, let's go with it.
Gosh, I wish you were telling the truth
now. I do too.
That would be so amazing, Coach. Oh man! All right, hey, just in watching tape so far, how do you think Clay is fitting in with Dallas?
Oh man, he's a great fit. I mean, he gets to play next to two of the great shot creators on earth. There's a reason they went after him. I mean, they knew he would fit perfectly next to those guys. And, I was watching their game against Phoenix today, and you just see how many openings he has as a result of playing next to those guys and also having lob threats. You remember how well he played with Trace, last year, coming off pin downs, and what a good passer Clay was, hitting Trace for easy buckets of the rim. So, Dallas can use him a lot of different ways, but he's definitely a great fit.
Just looking at your fit with your 12 or 13 or however many you need to play on a given night, 8-2 through 10, you've got to be delighted with how everything has meshed so far.
Yeah, I mean, to be 8-2 at this point, especially coming off that road trip, I think we're all really excited. But it's more than the record. It's just the vibe. It's the feeling that the group is connected. It's a lot to ask of players to play a 12-man rotation. There's the risk that, guys don't get into the rhythm, that there's some unease about, how it's all going to play out. But I got to give our guys a lot of credit. They've all, really bought in and they're committed to each other and playing hard, and it's been fun to watch.
Steve, we know after the whatever the full tribute is tomorrow, we know that Steph Curry's going to grab the microphone and address the crowd. Has he spoken to you about what he's going to say? Was that kind of a collaboration at all?
No, I haven't talked to Steph about it at all. We were obviously busy on the road trip trying to win games, and then we had today off. So I'm sure, Steph will do what he does. He always nails this kind of stuff and says the right thing. And then we got a game to play. So it'll be a weird night for sure.
No doubt. Well, and here's the other thing I wanted to ask you about this, based on what we just heard Clay say, just another garden variety November regular season game. I don't want you to speak for him, but I don't buy that at all, right? I mean, you know Clay really well. What do you think that this will be like for him?
Well, I have a lot of experience playing against my old teams since I played on six different teams. So, and even for me, someone who bounced around and wasn't anywhere close to the player Clay was. I mean, every single one of those games is special when you go back and play your old team and play in front of your old fans. And so he's going to be juiced. He's going to be excited and fired up. And I think, there's a reason he said that. He's trying to clear his mind and get centered and come out and play a great game. And there's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot on him and a lot on us. And it's definitely a different night and an emotional night. And, everybody has to do whatever they have to do to settle in and play well.
Was it a little surreal for you looking at the tape and then sitting down with your coaches and figuring out how to game plan to stop Klay Thompson?
Yeah, it's different. I mean, we know him so well. We've been through so many battles together and had so much success. And so, that's a lifetime bond there. And nights like these don't happen that often. I guess we had one with Andre Iguodala a few years ago when he came back with Miami. We've had a couple with Kevin Durant. But this one is even different because Clay was a warrior for life. 13 years here. That's quite a legacy and quite a bond.
Steve Kerr with us here, Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Coach, the Athletic article came out and sort of detailed a dinner last offseason between you and Clay in Manhattan Beach, where you drove and really wanted to express to him the importance of him within the organization, but that by the end of it, he was straight with you and at least reportedly said, I think it's time to go. I'm going to go to Dallas. Did you expect that kind of a definitive finish to the dinner when you were on your way up?
It was actually a breakfast, but okay. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, same thing. I mean, we were just, we connected, and I wanted to make sure that he knew how I felt and how all the coaches felt before he made a decision. This was right around July 1st, whenever, you know, free agency started. And because, you know, the last couple of years were really emotional for Clay. And you know, there's always contract stuff and you know, just things that get in the way of relationships at times. And, you know, the main thing I wanted him to know was just, you know, how much he meant to us and how much we wanted him back. And so it was great. It was great to connect and to at least, you know, express my feelings for what we wanted. But in the end, I think it was the right decision for him. He you know, he was feeling strongly about needing a fresh start. And it's been a tough couple of years coming off the injuries. And I think he made his decision and he was at peace with it. And you know, at least I could be there with him, you know, as he made that decision and meet face to face. That was important for me and for us, I think.
Yeah, it's great direct communication, something that you pride yourself in and something that you're really so good at. And it makes me wonder, Steve, how you navigate these sorts of things during a season when it comes to contracts. If a player clearly is not happy with the status or the situation, yet it's not really your department exclusively, how do you try to navigate the feelings of a player while not stepping on toes of the front office?
Yeah, I mean, that's the balance. And you know, the thing that I always try to impress upon our players is, you know, that this is a business and they are their own best asset. You know, they have to put themselves in the best possible position to earn a living, to be successful. Because, you know, all the things that can happen, you get traded, you get cut, and get booed, and it's not an easy job, you know, and so it's just important for our guys to understand the balance between all this. It's not an easy thing to navigate, but the guys who do it the best really understand the business in a profound way.
Steve, would certainly love to dive into what has taken place in these first 10 games. A 4-1 road trip with the opponents you had is wildly impressive. So, in your mind, why is this team 8-2? What is it that they're doing so well?
Defense. I mean, it comes down to our defense. Our success over the last decade has largely been, you know, predicated on what kind of defensive team we've had. In 2022, we were the number one defense in the league, and we won the championship. Last couple of years, we were not nearly as good, and we struggled. So, you know, we're going to be able to score as long as we have Steph and Draymond. We're going to run our stuff. We're going to, you know, push the ball and move the ball. But if we can defend at a high level, then we've got a shot against anybody, and that's been the case so far.
How has Jonathan Kuminga's defense improved for you this year, Steve?
He's been good. You know, I think that he's found a really nice role now coming off the bench, and he's giving us such important firepower and an ability to get to the rim and to attack and to score. And then the defense is crucial, you know, his size and strength and certain matchups, we have to have him out there. He's getting better, and we're continuing to just see J.K. grow as a young player, and it's been fun to watch.
We asked you last week, what happens when D'Anthony Melton gets healthy? And you're like, I'm going to play him. And you weren't kidding. Mm-hmm. So will you share with the audience what the thought is right now, at least, that he's going to be the starter, at least for a little while?
Well, we want to keep Trace and Draymond in the front court. Because we like Draymond at the four playing center field, We like Trace at the five guarding the bigger guys, and that means we need to be able to guard the perimeter but also score. DeAnthony's a great two-way player. You saw the pass he made on the first play of the game. He's a really good passer. He found Trace for a layup off a little dump off. And you know, he takes ball handling pressure off of Steph. He can knock down threes. I think he made five of them last night. And then he is a really good on-ball defender. So you pair him with Wiggs, and you get a really good combination of defense and offense.
And Andrew has been really good so far through 10 games. I know he hasn't played them all, Steve, but what have you seen from Andrew Wiggins, and to what do you attribute a seeming renaissance this year for Andrew Wiggins?
Well, I mean, we've seen it before, so we know that this is what Wiggs is capable of, and we expected that. He came into camp in great shape, real peace of mind. You could see and feel that you know, he was in a good place emotionally, and I think the emphasis on defense, the effort he put forth last night guarding guys like Shea Alexander and Jalen Williams. I mean, it was really impressive. So that's what we need from Wiggs, and that's what we're getting.
Steve Kerr with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. What's your take on the play? I love that Chet Holmgren found a way to sort of be almost kind of playful about a really, really tough injury. I don't know if you saw that he tweeted, "I can't believe the guy still made the shot." Also, nothing dirty there at all. But just what's your take on what happened to that play and how that changes Oklahoma City going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a mid-air collision. I mean, that's both players, I think, made the right play. You know, if you're Wiggs, you can't expect to shoot a little floater over a shot blocker like that, so you have to attack the body. And if you're Holmgren, it's all about verticality and not committing a foul. So seeing it on tape, it looked like both players made really good basketball plays. Wiggs just was able to get right through him and finish. It was an incredible play. And I just feel terrible for Chet. He's, obviously a thin guy and a young guy, and to land on his hip like that and sustain that fracture is just it's terrible. Terrible for him and their team and for the league, because he's a great young player on a great team. So we obviously wish him well and hope that he's back as soon as possible.
Yeah, great young player, and fun to watch somebody that tall who's also that skilled. It seems like there are more and more of them coming into the league each and every day. Tomorrow, it's a big one, Steve. It's the NBA Cup. Does it get the juices flowing a little bit, knowing that this time, this one counts? And I'm only being a little facetious because Mark and I have had a debate about the NBA Cup, the IST, as I call it, the in-season tournament. I'm kind of all in on it, and Mark maybe not as much. Does it move the needle for you and the team at all, Steve?
You know, last year was interesting. I mean, the first year of the NBA Cup, and we were, trying to sort through it a little bit. We won the first game that we played at OKC, and then all of a sudden you look at the standings and you go, okay, well, let's see where this goes. I thought it picked up some momentum. I thought the teams around the league took it pretty seriously, and the players took it seriously. And I think it's a nice kind of shift in terms of 82 games. It's a long haul. You make something a little different. The court's different. The uniforms are different. It's a good start for the league to experiment with this, and we'll see how it goes. But our focus is always going to be on the winning the NBA championship and handling our business over 82 games. But yeah, we're gonna try to win this thing for sure.
Steve, and there's a reason I'm asking this, so go with me on this one. If you do lose this game one of the NBA Cup, will you flip the dinner spread after the game in the locker room?
Yeah, well, depends on how we play, and if I blame myself for the loss. If I do I'm liable to do anything. You guys know me. I can snap on at a moment's notice.
Well, that's kind of, I don't know.
Smash a clipboard, we've seen.
Yeah,
it.
Do we know you? Because the reason I'm asking, Steve, did you hear that Shane Battier shared this story apparently about you in practice? Like maybe once or twice a year, you'd kind of, you would do something like that. You would just kind of lose it in practice, but that the guys figured out at a certain point the reasoning was because you are such a nice guy, you had to keep them on their toes. Is there any truth to this?
Wait, Shane Battier said this?
This is what I'm told, yeah. Shane Battier said he heard it from someone who played for you.
Interesting. Because I never played with Shane, but he's talking about me as a coach or as a player.
He's saying as a coach that there were Gatorade coolers who just got it from you and stuff like that, but but because you were trying to keep your guys on their toes.
Well, you've seen the clipboards. There may have been a Gatorade cooler or two that went down as well. I have a temper. I can lose my mind sometimes. I'm not always proud after these things happen, but it does happen, I will say.
You know what's interesting? I just thought of this since you're saying this. Prior to you coming on, we're having a debate. I don't know if you saw what happened in the 49er game yesterday where Debo Samuel and one of the long snapper for the Niners kind of got into it, screaming at each other. Debo kind of pushed his helmet because of the frustration bubbled over. And we see it on TV and fans. It's uncomfortable. But in professional sports, how normal is that?
Well, I mean, it's hard for me to comment on what happened in that particular case. I think the emotion of professional sports, everything that is at stake for the players with contracts, their careers, I would say there are usually three or four incidents a year where guys get into screaming matches, fights. Very rarely are there punches thrown, but, it's an incredibly competitive business, professional sports in general. And so, there is plenty of that. It happens. It's a competitive environment.
Yeah, and mostly alpha male type personalities involved as well. And Mark and I have been talking a lot about Draymond this year, and I've been referring to him as Draymond 2.0 because it seems like he has completely changed a lot of his on-court demeanor. Is this something that you guys have talked about, or is it just part of the natural evolution of an athlete becoming maybe a little bit more comfortable with what he's doing?
Well, I mean, I always look at the big picture. I mean, Draymond and I have been together 11 years. Has he had a few outbursts? Yeah, but I think last week I coached my 800th game. So for 790 of those, Draymond has been, like he has been this year. I mean, this is the norm. I mean, when he has an outburst like he's had, a few times over the last couple of years, it's obviously a big deal and it gets headlines. But he's always going to be passionate, emotional. He's always going to get technical fouls. But he's played in his entire career and won championships and done amazing things. So it's not like every game he's losing his mind. You know what I mean? So I don't think anything is that different this year. I just think, I think he has one tech. He's, it just means he's probably going to get one tomorrow. I mean,
Yeah. Actually, what do you think the interactions in the game between Steph, Clay, and Draymond will be like?
That's a great question. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be so bizarre seeing it up close. I think they will definitely share some laughs during the game. I think they'll share hugs after the game. But I also think it'll be incredibly competitive because the one thing those three guys share, as different as they are, as personalities and as basketball players, they are all just vicious competitors, and that's why they won all those championships.
Has either of those two asked to check Clay straight out the gate?
No. We have not even talked about it. The matchup. We had this huge game last night in OKC, and today we had off, so we won't even. We will have not even spoken of the matchup until tomorrow when we all get to the arena.
Steve, before you go, as part of this big night tomorrow, we're going to be out there doing the show out on the plaza, and the station is putting together what we're calling the Clay Carnival, where fans can come by and do sort of like Clay-related activities, and we wanted to throw three out to you and find out which one you think you'd be best at. So there's going to be a paper airplane making contest. There will be a championship ring toss or a pin the nub tail on the Rocco. Which do you think which do you think you could pull off the best?
Paper airplane contest for sure.
Okay.
And that would be the one I would want to take part in just because I have great memories of Clay flying the airplanes during the media sessions.
And he's still doing that out in Dallas, by the way.
Is he? Good.
Indeed he is. Yes. true and true. Clay, as always. Steve, we'll see you out there tomorrow night, and thank you so much, as always.
Thanks, you guys, for having me. Have a good night.
Okay.
Thanks, Steve.
You too. There it is.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr, 95.7 The Game.
Good stuff. And wow, look at you. You're beaming over there.
Wow, that
You're
was
glowing.
That was
incredibly rare to get that's a good question from Steve Kerr.
And I think he said that was a great question, actually.
Yeah, and really was.
Just saying.
It was honestly very mediocre and run of the mill. Steve to say that, it really struck him in a certain way.
I was all ready to do the Clay Carnival question, and then that just popped into my head.
That's a great question.
And I now have that emblazoned on my resume for the rest of my life.
It's good. It's a big one. And he can add that to the montage, as I'm sure Grandy will, with all the...
Thank you, Grandy.
That was a good... It's a great question to get from Steve Kerr. That's high water.
Man.
He doesn't give those out very often.
I'm going to float home tonight.
Yeah, you are.
Woo!
All that rain we had.
That's a great question.
I think there's more coming later this week. We're still in the stage of game where when I wake up and it's raining, I'm like, who the hell ordered that? I wasn't ready for... Were you ready for that today?
Yes.
Yes,
I was.
You looked at stuff.
Yeah.
I don't look at stuff.
We look at stuff, and then my daughter got her rain boots on, and we went out in the rain.
Oh.
And then I brought her in from being out in the rain, and now all she wants to do is go back out in the rain.
Walk in the rain. Yeah.
Splash and run, and I mean, soaked. We're both soaked.
So splash. Splash!
Yeah, that's right.
I wonder why she loves water so much.
What was that necessary?
Maybe she saw a video recently.
Right. I gave her a bucket of water and let her throw it at me for old time's sake.
You guys are just doing the ice bucket challenge on a daily basis now at your house. Fantastic. All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. But as we kind of start to get all ready for tomorrow and the big events surrounding Klay Thompson and the fact that we'll be out there and the jersey giveaways and the Clay Carnival and all of that, because we'll largely be focused on that tomorrow, we really wanted to do Grandy's grades on the 49er game today. So, how about now?
Let's do it.
How did the 49ers grade out this week? Did they pass? Did they fail? Let's find out. It's time for Grandy's Grades on Willard and Dibbs.
Feels like it's been a long time since we've done one of these.
Hi,
huh?
Grandy!
Yeah,
it has. Bye week, your travels. Man, I miss this.
Wild game. Wild game yesterday in Tampa. Huh? 23-20, the final score. We start, as always, with the quarterback position. You guys have broken this down already today. Brock Purdy, I thought, relatively average through the first half, through three quarters even, but his fourth quarter was amazing. The over-the-shoulder pass to Christian McCaffrey on the right sideline, where he's got two defenders in his face. The touchdown to Kittle, where he extends the play left and throws a perfect seed over the top of a couple of defenders. He was awesome in in that fourth quarter. And that's weighed a little bit more heavily in my mind because it was the fourth quarter and it was gotta have it drives. Overall for Brock, a B+ for his performance yesterday. Yeah,
exactly the same that I wrote down, B+. I thought early on he missed some throws. There were some open receivers he didn't find, but I'm with you, Grandy, in terms of the waiting. The waiting is the hardest part. Huh. W-E-I-G-H-T-I-N-G. You need to wait it to the fourth quarter, and he came up big in the last drive for the field goal that won the game. He made some great throws, throws to the boundary that helped him stop the clock. I had him at a B+.
I don't have anything to much to add because I have the exact same grade that you guys did. B+.
Wow.
It's just I think
the first time we've agreed.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought largely Brock Purdy was really good yesterday. When you put up those kind of numbers, and you know our marker is always don't turn the ball over. If he doesn't turn the ball over, the Niners are nearly impossible to beat. So that's my big marker, but it's not an A because he was just kind of floating some balls there in the first quarter. It looked a little out of sync. That happens, nothing to worry about, but yeah, B+ sounds good to me too.
Yeah, I like it. Up next, skill positions. That's wide receivers, running backs, and tight ends. Kind of a weird game because there was a lot of yards, but you still struggled in the red zone. But McCaffrey came back, and he was obviously effective in the passing game, more so than in the running game. Kittle and his catch in the back of the end zone was amazing. Deebo Samuel broke a big one. Ricky Pearsall, his first touchdown. Juwan Jennings was awesome once again. I don't really have a lot of negatives for this group, but they didn't do anything so incredible to deserve an A+. They get an A from me, skill positions.
I'm actually going to bring this more to about an A-. I get where you're coming from on all of those things. George Kittle was just phenomenal in the game. The Ricky Pearsall story is incredibly inspiring. McCaffrey's back, but just because he's back, like our bar was low because we're just so happy to have him back. But the Niners only got 3 yards a carry. That's not all on the running backs. But for that reason, that knocks him down a peg. And even though I've largely had his back in the overall situation, one of your wide receivers shoved a teammate in the head. And so, you know, I'm going to factor that into this whole conversation too. It's not the greatest look. So something a little bit below an A-, B+ for me.
That had a B+ written down, and I think you said it perfectly. They didn't do anything too spectacular, but they also didn't have any mistakes. I'm trying to even remember a dropped pass. I don't know.
Saubert committed the penalty. I noted that.
Yep.
Oh,
Saubert.
He does that every week, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, that was a false start, I think, right?
Yeah, Saubert.
Yeah.
You know, and McCaffrey, that's all for Kid Gloves. He played 88% of the snaps.
Yeah, Mason and Garendo, one carry each. Is
three
that right?
Snaps apiece.
Yeah.
By the way, one thing we didn't hear from Kyle Shanahan in his conference call today, he said that he didn't feel like they rode Christian McCaffrey big time yesterday. So
I agree with him. How many touches? 19?
He had 13 and 6. Yep, 19.
Yeah, 19 touches. That's about what we were calling for, so I agree with him.
Agreed. But as far as the skill guys go, B+, nothing too spectacular, but no real negatives either. Other than the one penalty.
Yeah. Up next is the offensive line. I thought it was a relatively average day. I mean, you mentioned the running game. It wasn't great. You average a little over 3 per carry. Purdy was sacked 3 times. Nothing special. It wasn't terrible. A C for the offensive line for me.
I had it a straight B because, you know, you didn't have too much that was negative. You had a few penalties, and like you mentioned, the 3 sacks. And I do think if you look at Dominic Pooney, he was spectacular. Pro Football Focus had him as the highest rated 49er. Trent Williams was great. The problem is you look at Jake Brendel, the center, and they gave him a 17.6 rating on pass blocking. That is almost as low as it can get. They're giving up too many simple pressures. Without exotic blitzes, they're just giving up pressures. I had it as a B.
That's a good call. I'm actually going to take it down a peg to a B- because I thought that Brock Purdy saved the offensive line's butt a couple of times on what could have been or should have been sacks. There were at least 3 or 4 plays I can remember where guys just came unblocked. Absolutely unblocked. And you know, the already mentioned looping ball to Christian McCaffrey down the sideline is an offensive line breakdown and just a phenomenal play by the quarterback to sort of negate that. But and 3 yards a carry for the running backs. Yeah, it is okay, passable day for the offensive line. Not sparkly. I'll go B minus.
All right, up next, as we shift to the defense, it is the front seven. So this is the defensive line and the linebackers. Similar to the conversation with Brock Purdy, you weigh what happened in winning time a little bit more than you weigh what happened everywhere else throughout the game. I was really disappointed by the defense, especially up front late in the game. Bucky Irving, big play after big play to get that touchdown for Tampa in the fourth. And then all the penalties on that last drive that led to the game-tying field goal. There was the weirdness of the Nick Bosa grasp of Baker Mayfield for like 3 or 4 seconds, but couldn't bring him down. I thought it was one of Bosa's worst games as a professional, despite the fact that he got a sack. And so many just terrible penalties that kept that drive alive. So with that happening in key moments, that outweighs everything else that happened in this football game. I gave a D plus to the front seven. I was that disappointed.
Yeah, that feels a tiny bit harsh, but I'll go C minus. So I'm pretty close to where you are. They did not force any turnovers. Yes, they got a few sacks. At times, it felt a little bit too little, too late. The penalties on that last drive were absurd. I thought, I'm with you. I can't remember being this frustrated with Nick Bosa ever coming out of a 49er football game. So I don't watch every single play of every lineman, but this might have been his worst game as a 49er. Out there, especially with some of the high-profile things that he did not do. I'm largely with you, Grandy. It's a C-minus for me.
I got it as a B-minus because Tampa really didn't do much of anything all game. Baker didn't even throw for more than 120 yards. Buck 16 allowed, and yeah, you didn't get a lot of hits on Mayfield, but they didn't really run the ball effectively either. 104 yards between their two featured backs over 23 carries. I thought, for the most part, they controlled the line of scrimmage. The reason why they get downgraded is those three penalties you talked about. Yeah. It was Fred, it was Collins, it was Anderson. Three straight plays that kept that drive going, but they were able to stiffen up, and they held them out of the end zone. So I think you guys are being a little too harsh. B minus.
Maybe. Up next is the secondary. I was impressed by the young secondary once again. I mean, Diamador Lenore might not just be the best corner on the team. He might be an all-pro corner. That's how good he's been so far this year. And we spend a lot of time talking about Malik Mustafa and everything that he's done. Renardo Green had himself a hell of a game yesterday as well. I know you're going up against relative nobodies on Tampa Bay without star receivers Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. Kate Otten, the tight end, has kind of been their go-to pass catcher of late. But all that considered, secondary, a B-minus for me. I was impressed with how they played.
Oh, A-minus for me. You gave up no explosives. And outside of the Rock Yassin hold on that same drive, they had four penalties on that drive. Aside from that, you had no breakdowns. You allowed zero explosive plays. They had no play go for more than 20 yards, rush or pass. I thought the secondary was great, and they were able to contain, and you mentioned it, it's a C-level group of receivers, but
even that's kind.
All you can do is guard the guys who are opposite you. I like that. They get the highest grade of the day for me, A-minus.
Yeah, I'll go with that A-minus and just add one more point that I didn't hear either of you make, which is don't forget they're doing this all without Charvarius Ward, who unfortunately is out because of the awful family situation that he's experiencing. Not that he's had a perfect year by any stretch, but down a man and still able to perform that way. So, yeah, thumbs up to them.
Hell of a draft in that secondary,
for sure. Yep.
Up next is special teams. You guys have already talked about all of it. There were a few positives, so this is not an F. It's a D-minus for me. You had the Jacob Cowing, good punt return. Mm-hmm. You had a downed punt, inside the five? And then you had making the game-winning field goal, which was not a gimme kick. So those three things are all positives. I can't make it an F, but the next worst thing is a D-minus.
Yeah, I guess I'll give it a D also for those reasons. Like, I'm glad you pointed out that there were some things that happened, and bottom line is that's the group that was on the field when the game ended and they won the game, so we'll give them that. But there's no more frustrating group in all of the NFL right now. than the 49ers special teams.
Yeah, D minus is what I gave him, but I'm going to upgrade it to a straight D based on Tabor Pepper having Jake Moody's back. That matters to me, baby.
Oh,
I like to see it, long snapper. I had it as a D minus. You mentioned the three plays, including the 30-yard punt return, which set them up in business to go out there and get the field goal that would get them the lead back, or the touchdown, rather.
Yeah, they actually scored a touchdown on that
yes,
drive.
Yes,
they didn't have to settle for a field goal. Maybe Jake Moody would have missed that one, too. We'll never know.
Yeah.
Last but not least is coaching. I feel like we've been doing this two-step all year. The special teams and coaching grades kind of go in tandem for me because this has been a year-long issue, and it has not been fixed. And you come out of the bye week against a team that's going into this game on a short week. They were on the road in overtime against the defending champs, and all of those mistakes late in the game, this does not feel like a team coming off of a Super Bowl appearance and a conference championship appearance the year prior to that. Coaching, disappointing once again. A D minus for me in what happened
yesterday. I just don't see that. I mean, I look at those penalties on that last drive, and those are aggressive penalties when you go hands to the face and face mask. Those aren't the ones that bug me from a coaching standpoint. It's the 12 men in a huddle, the false starts, the parking tickets. These are moving violations. Doesn't bother me. The only thing that annoyed me, and it's been the same thing all year, is Kyle Shanahan and his clock management at the end of the half. Again, he's too casual. He tries to be too cute, and they wind up getting zero. I gave him a B for coaching. I didn't think that coaching was a big issue.
Yeah, I'm largely with you, and will acknowledge the frustration of the clock management, even though I understand why Kyle feels the way he does. I know it's an unpopular sort of an approach. And then the other side to it is I'm with you, Grandy, on like something needs to happen differently with the special teams group. However, we walk out of yesterday mainly talking about Jake Moody. And that to me is just, I don't know how to put that on a coach. You're lining up for a field goal. You expect
to professional. Yeah, he also muffed another point that led to a touchdown.
Yeah, I understood, which you know, I have a hard time believing that Daryl Luter has not been told this already. But, I don't give him an A because of the things you're talking about. But a lot of this is, I think, more player-driven than coach-driven. So I'm kind of with Dibs in the neighborhood of a B-.
There you have it. Yeah,
fair enough. I disagree.
All right. And what the hell would this be without that?
Totally.
All right. We're sponsored by Life Source Water Systems. Want to remind you, and we'll do it again here coming up next, but want to remind you of everything going on Klay Thompson related tomorrow. Come see us at Thrive City. We will have the Klay Carnival. We are going to be giving away a jersey. All three shows will. A Klay Thompson Warriors jersey. Klay's dad is going to be on the show with us tomorrow, right out of the gate at 2:30. We have got a lot to do and all kinds of special guests and special things happening tomorrow. So we'll tell you more about that coming up next. Still time for your calls, 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibs.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
You know what? You should play that next time on the way in when Kerr's coming on.
Yeah.
That way I can confront him.
Or just have him do it live.
Come on,
Steve. He comes on at 5 and, you know, we don't come back from a break right then. So, too bad.
Yeah, just have him do it live.
Hey,
Coach.
The venom with which he delivered
Bay
that.
Bay Area, it's Steve Kerr.
Once was enough.
Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Dude.
Yeah. Are you saying two was unnecessary?
Four is unnecessary.
Number four.
Four was unnecessary, by the way.
I got something for you. It definitely was, especially since I don't even think it hit you. But anyway.
I tried to get the third one to hit
you.
Me.
You gave it a little lean for the third. Anyway, Lucas was on empty with his bucket. But anyway, I got something for you because we've been playing with this lately. On the way out the door, we like to just have a little fun at 5:45, if you will.
Yeah.
So
fun
around with 5:40. I got a question for you. That's clay. It's clay based.
Okay.
It's clay based. But first, I want to again let everybody know exactly what's going on tomorrow, and I mean from start to finish. Okay. The clay jersey giveaways tomorrow will start at 8 a.m., noon, and 4. Okay? So basically, the middle of each show. Halftime for each show. 8 a.m., Bonte and Joe. Noon with Steiny and Goon. They'll be out on the plaza. And then you and I at 4 p.m. out on the plaza. Festus Ezeli, 8:30 in the morning. Zaza Nothing Easy, 9 a.m. Then Steiny and Goo are going to be out on the plaza starting at 10 a.m. And then the Clay Carnival, director of sports Lucas Alexander's baby, is going to open at noon. And I like the way he writes this. It will stay open until around 6 p.m. So noon to 6, Clay Carnival tomorrow. All right? And then we're at Thrive City starting at 2. Michael Thompson, Clay's dad, joins us at 2:30. Then we've got our Clay jersey giveaway at 4, some assortment of special Warriors guests will happen throughout Steiny and Goo, and then Willard and Dibs.
I love it.
Out on the plaza.
Exciting.
Now, with all that said, I don't think that I'm betraying any confidences here to say that on some level, over the last couple of years, Klay Thompson has had some frustrations with his former employer. What is your most frustrating former employer?
My most frustrating former employer?
Give me something on you being frustrated with a former employer.
Okay.
I mean, we can't speak freely if you're frustrated with your current employer.
No, I'm really not.
So let's make it about a former employer.
Well, I worked at a grocery store, and I was a courtesy clerk at this grocery store.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this about those types of employers, but it's all based on seniority. And when you're a courtesy clerk and you want to become a checker, you have to rise through the ranks. And when they have an opening, they usually look to promote from within. I was the courtesy clerk with the greatest amount of seniority at the time, yet I was passed over for somebody below me on the ladder so that they could be promoted to be checker. Come to find out, the person that was promoted was not only below me on the ladder, but was also below the boss in the bedroom.
Oh.
You can laugh. You can laugh out loud, Steiny. So I got passed over because the boss... And,
don't talk about that.
Oh, no, I just did.
Wow.
And my coworker, they were having horizontal relationships.
Horizontal relationships.
Horizontal.
Okay. I don't actually think you know what position they were using.
I do believe there was some verticality, the principle of verticality.
Grandy didn't like
that. There was some diagonal going on. How about you, Mark?
back to you.
Totally.
I won't
name the employer.
I'll name mine. But mine's not going to be anywhere near as salacious or fun as that. I just have this memory of you know how Debo Samuel said after the game, he's like, I stepped out of character a little bit. And
that's
what I probably maybe shouldn't have done or whatever. I stepped out of character a little bit. I don't do this. You know this. I'm not trying to get all up in your confrontational face and be mad and be mean and all this. In fact, I lean way too far in the other direction, which is that, you know, somebody wrongs me and I'm just like, it's okay. It's okay. We'll figure it out. I've done that way too much in my life. But in this particular case, a perfect storm of, I am on my way out of this job and I know I'm never coming back and you don't know anyone who will affect me in my future because you're a restaurant. And I'm not just leaving the restaurant, I'm moving. I'm leaving for Idaho. Like, I'm quitting my job at the old Custom House restaurant in Avila Beach, just south of Cal Poly where I went to school and was working there post-college. And then I got a job in minor league baseball and I was going to put my whole life in my used Ford Explorer and drive to Idaho. I'm out. And there's not a damn thing. You're not going to, like, talk to somebody. I'm never going to put you on a reference. Nothing. So I didn't just leave. I said, so I'm leaving. And I want you to know, bosses of Old Custom House in Avila Beach, and it was two of them in particular, I want you to know that everybody who works here hates you. They all hate you because you are verbally abusive with the way that you talk to people, and it is unnecessary, and you should stop. And then I proceeded to try to walk out of the building. However, I did not walk out of the building because I was immediately called upstairs to the office because they're like, if you're going to actually, this is an accusation sensation.
Yeah.
And if you're going to actually do that, well, cha-ching! I think that like there's some forms you need to fill out and there's HR paperwork that you will need to involve yourself in if you're actually, you're claiming verbal abuse from the upper staff here at Old Custom House. And I kind of was like, I'm not interested in that. I just want to tell you that you suck. And now I'm going to leave. And then that was it. I left. And that was the end of that.
You didn't have to go up and do the paper.
No. No, because I didn't want to like file a complaint. I just wanted them to change. Stop being mean. I don't understand mean. I've never, ever understood mean. Why are you mean? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Maybe they thought that it would help you perform better.
Ah.
Debo Jake Moody.
Maybe.
Maybe they saw you as a struggling kicker who needed it a little, as you call it, tough love.
Maybe. Maybe that's how she saw it. It was actually a she.
Mm-hmm.
It was a she. But she did to everybody.
Right.
So.
And how'd that work out for her?
Well, fine.
I'm sure.
The restaurant did well.
Yeah.
It's the place where Barbara Streisand came in and ate a B.
There you go.
Oh, man. Anyway, look, I look forward to tomorrow night, but I do want to say this off the top, and we're going to continue this tomorrow for sure. And I think Steve Kerr even sort of like, he sort of even suggested this just an hour ago. This is going to be weird. This is going to be weird tomorrow night with Klay Thompson back, because it's not just the return of someone that not that long ago was on the team. There's just a weird energy around this. They're like, I feel this. I wonder if y'all feel this. Like, Klay Thompson just kind of being like, yeah, it's a regular season game, whatever. You know, and then they asked him about the captain's hat. It's like, how cool. Like everyone's going to be wearing your hat, and they're going to, like, salute you. And I think that this is going to be a great moment. At this moment, though, Klay's response was kind of like, well, that's cool for the fans. So
exactly.
Kudos to them.
He's clearly still hurt.
He's still mad. He's still hurt.
He was mad, and he felt like, you know, we always talk about the Brandon Ayuk, they say they don't want me. And this is more a case of they say they don't want me than Brandon Ayuk was.
Yep.
And they said they didn't want him, and he had to leave and go to Dallas, and now he's coming back early in the year. I get it. I get why he's not feeling totally into it.
Well, and I think what a great opportunity the whole day at 95.7 The Game is for you, the Warrior fans, to sort of like deal with this and sort of figure out how you feel about all of this. Because also tucked into it is the Warriors are without him, and they look awesome. They're 8-2. They look awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll get to all of this tomorrow. Can't wait. Grandy, what are you doing here in 4 minutes?
We got the football hour with Kyle Madsen and myself coming up next.
Grandy finally gets to get loose with all those grades.
D minus for Kyle.
Yeah, bring that energy. I can't wait to hear
Shanahan,
it.
Shanahan, not Kyle Madsen. Oh, he gets an A plus.
Kyle was like, I'm not doing the show with you, jerk. All right, here it comes. Football hour. Mark Grandy, Kyle Madsen reacting to everything with the Niner victory yesterday. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
Live from Chase Center.
I mean, more than we ever have before. So let's ride, okay? For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.